Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters, titled Burning for Democracy in North Africa. When the Tunisian graduate Mohamed Bouazizi set fire to himself last month, he didn't just ignite the protests which swept a dictator from power, he shook the ruling elites across the region, and he appears to have inspired others to follow his example. An Egyptian man set fire to himself outside the parliament in Cairo on Monday. Policemen used extinguishers to put out the fire, and the man was taken to hospital. He's expected to survive. Over the weekend, it was reported that up to four men set themselves alight in Algeria. The website of El Kabar newspaper said one, Mohsen Boutafif, poured petrol over himself after a meeting with the mayor in the town of Boukhadra. When the mayor was unable to provide Boutafif with a job and a house, he set fire to himself, leading to his death and a small protest by about 100 young men. Another website claimed three other men across the country had made similar protests but had survived their burns. This has not been confirmed. In Jordan, several thousand people, energised by the events in Tunisia, marched for greater freedoms. In Sudan, the tiny secular opposition movement called for protests. However, this doesn't mean that a Tunisian-style coup d'etat or even a revolution is likely in the near future. Tunisia seems to have been a coup, not a revolution, although the coup might lead to genuine social change. Last Friday, the head of the army refused to open fire on protesters and instead surrounded the presidential palace and the airport. By this time, it seems the president had already thrown in the towel. The prime minister could hardly have taken control without the army. And at the moment, the only thing between anarchy and a functioning country is the army. Behind the scenes, the military does seem to be pulling the strings. And it may deliver free elections. We should know within weeks. Opposition leaders have begun returning to the country. Some want a six-month delay before elections in order to organise their campaigns. The countries in the region most at risk of an uprising in the medium to long term are thought to be Algeria, Morocco, Libya, and Egypt. New technology has bypassed the elite's usual way of controlling information, which in turn has eroded their authority. Look out across the rooftops in any Arab city and you see a forest of satellite dishes. Walk past any internet cafe and you'll see them full of young men. All the North African countries have old leaders and young populations. Three, though, have taken measures to prevent a Tunisian-style uprising. The Libyan elite has cleverly used oil money and the tribal system to buy off dissent. Algeria's experience with jihadists in the 1980s and 90s has made the population wary of instability, and Algiers has introduced a degree of democracy, giving an outlet to frustrations. Morocco is poorer and more at risk, but it has a constitutional monarchy and a parliamentary system which includes an Islamist party. Egypt appears to be the most vulnerable. President Mubarak is old, ill, and trying to ensure his son takes over. The country is poor, and the system is rigged against opposition parties. The largest opposition group is the Muslim Brotherhood. That has got mass support, and it's well organised through the mosque system. Egypt is a country of 80 million people. What happens there matters to the rest of the Arab world, and the Tunisians have shown the Egyptians what is possible. That doesn't mean it'll happen soon, but it makes it likely it'll happen eventually. Everyone is planning for that day. That's Foreign Matters. See you next time.